How active you've been. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the marvelous and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Well, I'm delighted that you're joining us again for a few moments of Bible study together as we're looking into the Word of God. We're in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking about the new life that we as believers have in Christ Jesus and what it means. We're talking about our identification, because as a believer in Christ, we have a new identification. We're different from what we once were. We've been liberated from the slave market of sin. Christ has redeemed us with his precious blood. He paid the price to purchase us out of the control and dominion of sin. We're now God's property. We belong to him. And this is what we're studying about, how that we become a part of the church, the body of Christ. We're talking about the importance of getting into a local church where you can study and where you can grow and where you can minister and where you can use the spiritual gifts that God has given to you to his glory, his honor, and his praise, to find a greater fulfillment and meaning and purpose in your life. We're presently in Ephesians chapter 5. We've been studying throughout the book of Ephesians that we call the Handbook of Believers, because it gives us so much instruction and guidance for our lives as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, we're talking about the relationship between a husband and his wife. A spirit-filled relationship, as verse 18 of chapter 5 says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. As alcohol affects an individual, affects their behavior and their conduct, so the filling of the Holy Spirit of God will affect our behavior, will affect our conduct. And he describes how in the following verses, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It will affect your attitude, you see, and it will enable you to give thanks in every situation, in every circumstance, and it will help you in your marriage relationship with your children, with your boss on the job, whomever or wherever you work. There's so many ways that the Spirit-filled life impacts our relationship with other people. But this is an example or a picture. The husband and wife relationship is a picture of Christ and his love for the church. And that's what we've been looking at and emphasizing here and considering. Verse 23 of Ephesians 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. That is, Christ so loved us that he was willing to die for us. And that's how much a man is to love his wife, to the extent that he's willing to lay down his life, if necessary, for his wife, to meet her needs, to be her help, to be her strength. And so he says here in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then he emphasizes the love that we men should have for our wives. Remember, our wives are emotional, and love comes easily for them, but for we men, we operate on logic, and love, the emotion of love, is something that we have to really work at. And he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives how much? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church, and He died for you and for me to bring us into that body of believers, that he might, verse 26, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is why the word of God is so essential, so important in your life and in mine, that every day we take time to get into the word of God, to let it operate within and cleanse and guide and direct us into the paths of righteousness. Verse 27, that he might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, beloved, the word of God cleanses us. The word of God purifies us. It sanctifies us. Of course, we're pure and clean and holy and righteous already in our spirit. Because remember, our diagram of the triunity of man made in the likeness and image of God with spirit, soul, and body, and thus in our spirit, where the Holy Spirit moves in at salvation, we are pure and clean and holy and righteous. But the Lord is at work teaching us to bring this old flesh into subjection unto the obedience of Christ, that our life might reflect Jesus, that we might walk in a manner and a way that's pleasing and acceptable unto him. And then he goes on to tell us in verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. The Lord nourishes and cherishes his church. He loves us, beloved, and he's at work in the local body of believers to make us a reflection of Christ to the world that is about us, that the world might be attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ, not by our becoming worldly and carnal and trying to act like the world, but by our being pure and holy and righteous and manifesting the love of Christ to the world that is about us, that the world might be drawn and attracted to the church of the Lord Jesus because of our love for Christ and our love for one another. Remember, that was one of the commandments the Lord gave us, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Oh, beloved, there should not be schisms. There should not be divisions. This is carnality that enters into the church so many times when people get in the flesh and they want their own way and they fight against one another and they cause conflict and tension and strife in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that grieves the Holy Spirit of God, how that quenches the work of the Holy Spirit, and how that hinders a church being everything that God would have it be, as a witness and a testimony, and allowing him to be the head, to be in control of that church, and to lead the pastor, to lead as the under-shepherd of the church, to lead the body of believers, and that there might be unity and harmony, that the members of the church would support the pastor, would back the pastor, would encourage the pastor, would pray for their pastor, and not be condemning and criticizing and tearing down the pastor and causing dissension and strife. This grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Lord says in verse 30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Beloved, every believer in the body of believers in the church of the Lord Jesus has a place to fill. Remember what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Notice that, beloved. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. And thus he's talking about the harmony that needs to be involved. Remember, the church was established with Jewish believers, and the first years of the church had to do with the Jewish believers until the Lord led Peter to go to the house of Cornelius and open the door to the Gentiles. And thus the gospel began to be presented to the Gentiles, and Paul became an ambassador to the Gentiles, establishing churches among the Gentiles and bringing Jew and Gentile together. Whereas in the past, in the Old Testament, the Jew was separate from the Gentile. But now we're to be united in the love of Christ. We're to work for one another. We're to pray for one another. And as Gentile Christians, we are to support Israel and to encourage Israel and to do what we can to see Israel protected, because she is God's chosen people. And rather than just being centered around our own little body of believers, we need to have a vision for the world, the lost and dying world that is about us, fulfilling the great commission that the Lord gave to us. And so he says that every member is to be supportive of the local church and have a part in the spreading of the gospel and the fulfilling of the great commission, which we'll get to in our next broadcast. For the body is not, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 12, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Beloved, God's given you a place in the local church to serve him, and your place is essential. Your place is important. You may say, well, it's not going to matter whether I'm there or not, but it will matter, beloved. You have a place to fill, and no one can fill your place in the body. It's a place that God has given to you. It's an essential, important place. And therefore, he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, the day of the coming of the Lord. And beloved, we're drawing closer to it than we've ever been in the history of the world. Jesus is coming soon. So live for him. Fulfill your place in the body. Till next time, goodbye.